Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, have mercy on us as we begin this Lenten journey. Have mercy on our wayward hearts. Have mercy on our human frailties and brokenness. Have compassion when our weaknesses allow evil wreak its ruin in our world. As Isaiah wrote, by his stripes we are healed, by the wounds of Jesus. Make real the healing in our hearts and in our land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A long, long time ago. Can you sort of get those pictures streaming across the screen? A long, long time ago. Not in a distant galaxy, not in a faraway planet, not in some alternative dimension of a different universe, but in our own solar system on this planet. This reality happened. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil at all times. Then jumping down to verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and it was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Jumping down to verse 17. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. So Noah built an ark as the Lord instructed. And the pairs of animal kinds were gathered. All Noah and his family and the pairs of animal kinds were delivered on the ark. After the springs of the deep burst forth and the floodgates of heaven opened with rain falling 40 days and 40 nights, the ark floated for 150 days upon the floodwaters. And then the floodwaters receded. Mountaintops became visible. After 40 days, Noah sent out a raven. Later, a dove was sent out many, many times until a dove returned with a fresh olive leaf. The ground was drying, but Noah stayed in the ark till the Lord called him out. And when the Lord called him out, and then he let all the animals out, the first thing Noah did was build an altar and sacrifice a burnt offering with some of the clean animals that he had saved on the ark. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. Genesis chapter 8, beginning at verse 21. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done, as long as the earth endures. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. The Lord established a new covenant and placed in the sky a reminder, a rainbow. There is evil, and the nature of evil is to corrupt and destroy. Even the sign of God's covenant, written about Genesis chapter 9, verse 16. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. Even that symbol of God's covenant, that reminder of God's covenant, has been corrupted by evil. With the colors of the rainbow corrupted in this culture. Words have been corrupted with their meanings changed. Try to sing the songs of previous generations, and a simple three-letter word that used to mean happy, exuberant, and alive, when sung, heard by today's ears, will picture a vastly different mental image. When will we learn that inanimate objects are value neutral? By themselves, they are incapable of doing good or doing evil. It is when in the hands of a human being that good or evil comes to be. It is the human who corrupts in the heart. That human who is corrupt in the heart that brings forth evil from what is in the heart. I ask you, is there a reality of evil? Why was the world flooded in the first place, as written about in Genesis? Sin, human sin, evil, wickedness. It was humans that took what God made so good and brought in the darkness of sin. Tempted by the evil one, sin entered the good creation. And the first sin written about after being expelled from Eden was Cain, killing his brother Abel. Murder. A man made in the image of God, destroying the image of God. Another man. The work of the evil one through Cain's actions, recorded in Genesis chapter 4. In just a few generations, as recorded in Genesis chapter 5, the wickedness became so pervasive that God had to bring judgment upon humanity and living things. Recorded beginning in Genesis chapter 6. Yet the compassion of God is greater still, providing a way of safe deliverance from judgment. Noah's Ark. Will we speak the truth and acknowledge the spiritual battle that is raging in our land? Here is a portion of a commentary titled, "And the Devil Smiled," by Todd Starnes. Todd Starnes is a cultural commentator who comments on the culture through the lens of a Christian worldview. He writes, "You see, I believe there is a God. But I also believe there is a devil, and I see his hand at work in our country, and I have no doubt that he is smiling at the chaos and the carnage that has scarred the land of the free. We have raised a generation to believe the truth is relative, that there is no right or wrong, and the devil smiled. They kicked God out of public marketplace, banned Bibles and prayer in school, and the devil smiled. Tens of millions of unborn babies have been slaughtered in the name of choice, and the devil smiled. The traditional family has been redefined, broken homes raising broken kids, and the devil smiled. We have taught a generation there are no consequences for bad behavior, no personal responsibility, and the devil smiled. Our movies and music and games glorify violence and gore. Relationships have been poisoned by pornography, and the devil smiled. What's happening across America is about wickedness, a war with the forces of darkness, good versus evil. The politicians and pundits would have you believe that this is not about God. It's about politics and mental illness and gun control. And the devil smiled. Along the River Jordan, John cries out. Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. This was his message, John's message. "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Soon after, in fulfillment of John's message, Jesus comes to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus comes up from the water, and the heavens part. And the Spirit descends like a dove, descends upon Jesus. And the voice came out of heaven. "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all present at one moment. In that one moment at the River Jordan, the reality of the Trinity, the triune nature of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 12 have that sense of urgency that Mark likes to write about. In the Greek is that word euthos, immediately. Our NIV translation didn't quite catch that. Verse 10 and verse 12 there, you have that euthos, that immediately. So you have immediately as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened, followed by immediately the Holy Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness. That word translated in the past tense is actually historical present tense in the Greek. Ekbalo. It means to just push out, to cast out. The Holy Spirit immediately pushed, sent Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. That historical present tense is as you're hearing all those other verbs, that word comes. And you get a vivid word, that present tense jumps out at you, to jump out at you and bring you into the action. So immediately the heavens open, and then immediately Jesus is sent and you're brought with him into the wilderness. Take note of that. Jesus was not swept up into comfort and everything is wonderfully pampered life. No, the Spirit sends, compels Jesus into the wilderness. Mark chapter 1, verse 13. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels attended him. Satan, the Greek is Satanos, and it means adversary, the prince of evil spirits, the inveterate adversary of God in Jesus, the evil one. Tempted to ascertain the quality, to determine how he will behave. Tested, what will Jesus do when confronted? The 40 years of wandering in the wilderness was to test Israel, as written about in the first five books, especially Exodus, whether they would learn to walk in the ways of the Lord, to be obedient and trust in the provision of the Lord. Now, these 40 days in the wilderness for Jesus parallels those 40 years of Israel. In those 40 years, Israel was unable to remain faithful to the Lord God. But in that 40 days, Jesus was faithful, countering the temptations. And as we know from Matthew and Luke, Jesus countered those temptations with the Word of God, specifically from the book of Deuteronomy. Martin Luther understood the battle he was fighting. It was really a battle with the devil. He didn't see it as a battle with the princes and kings and royalty and different sovereigns. He saw it was a battle against the devil, so that the message that in Christ you truly are free, the just shall live by faith. It was a battle with the devil. This is what Luther wrote in a sermon series called Evocative. Do you know what the devil thinks? When he sees men use violence to propagate the gospel, he sits with folded arms behind the fire of hell and says with malignant looks and frightful grin, "Ah, how wise these men are to play my game. Let them go on. I shall reap the benefit. I delight in it." But when he, the devil, sees the word running and contending alone on the battlefield, then he, the devil, shudders and shakes for fear. Do we understand the battle is a spiritual battle? A battle for who and what will reign in our hearts and in our lives and in the culture around us. 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days of Lent, 40 days to discern and test what is truly in our hearts. Where do we go for strength? In what resource do we ultimately put our trust? The true living God or something else. And that something else, if that's where you put your trust, is a false god. And at the root of every false god is the evil one, the devil. Either God or the evil one. There is no middle ground, no third choice. As Joshua called out years ago, recorded in Joshua chapter 24, "Choose whom you will serve this day." Then Joshua boldly declared, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." After the time in the wilderness, and John the Baptizer was taken and imprisoned by Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, Jesus goes into Galilee and proclaims the good news of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Then what follows in the Gospel of Mark is your proof, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Evil spirit cast out. Healings, leprosy healed, paralytic, sins forgiven, rises and walk. A crippled hand stretched out. Jesus calms the storm. But the English rendering of calming the storm doesn't carry what the Greek really means. The storm is cast as a spiritual battle. And the way Jesus calms the storm is the way he casts out evil. Then you come to the demon-possessed man at Gerasene, set free. The kingdom of God has come near. It's at hand. How do we know? Mark shows us how we know. The Gospel of Mark. Healing, evil spirits cast out, people set free, unclean, made clean, sins forgiven. Jesus sets free from the devil. Jesus can bring healing to our hearts and healing to our lives and healing to our lands. The answer is a spiritual one. One that sounds so strange at a time when materialism and science say they have the answer. Politicians will say they have the answer, but most will be wrong. Unless they point to an answer that is based in the living God, they're wrong. We need a spiritual answer to our day. And the spiritual answer is come to Jesus for healing. Come to Jesus for forgiveness. Come to Jesus, the living God, for compassion, consolation, and being set free. In Christ, you truly are set free. The devil has no more control over you, and his empty promises have no calling on you anymore. In Christ Jesus, you truly are set free. So come to Jesus for healing. Come to Jesus for forgiveness. Come to Jesus, the living God, for compassion and consolation. Use these 40 days of Lent for your life to be totally made over by the living presence of Jesus and the reality the kingdom of God is at hand. So that, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." It's a spiritual reality, a spiritual answer needed in our hearts, in our life, in our ministry, and in our culture. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the very presence of God. So in these 40 days that lie ahead of you, seek the Lord and experience the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Amen and amen.